And He's good all the time. If you would, in your Bibles this morning, turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 5. We'll continue our series of messages on the seven miracles of John. These are, again, before Christ's death that John records seven miracles. We think of this miracle, of course, the healing of the crippled man. I want to read over in John chapter 20, but you turn over to John chapter 5. And John chapter 20, verse 30, John says, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written," talking about the miracles that are recorded in the book of John. "These miracles are written and recorded that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through His name." So Jesus performed many more miracles than are recorded in the Gospel of John. But these seven miracles were recorded in order that you might believe and have life. That you might believe and have life. And so they are pertaining and are illustration, if you would, and point towards salvation. Every miracle recorded in the book of John is illustrative of the salvation that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm so glad this morning that I was saved at the age of 6 years old. And we heard a tremendous testimony by Brother Bill Marshall this week and how God raised him up out of that abyss of alcohol and the abyss of drugs and all those great things. And what a tremendous testimony. But I'm thankful for my testimony that I was raised in a Christian home, that I had a mom and daddy who loved me, who sheltered me. Amen. Nothing wrong with sheltering your kids. And who disciplined me when I needed it, and who loved on me and cared for me, took me to church every time the doors were open, and again, saved at the age of 6 years old. I'm so glad I'm saved. I'm so glad I have eternal life. And what a tremendous blessing. Jesus Christ came to give us life, and I got life. Eternal life. But He came to give us life more abundant. And I'm glad today I have a life of peace and a life of joy that only Christ can give. So John here records the miracles of Christ, in that they illustrate for us the great miracle of salvation that Jesus Christ has brought to us. Now in John chapter 5, verse 1, "After these there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches." Verse 3, chapter 5 of John. "In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, a blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lie, and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole?" Let me stop and say that when Jesus asks a question, it's always rhetorical. Because He already knows the answer. "Wilt thou be made whole?" Verse 7, "The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. And Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed and walk." Man, what a great miracle. Verse 9, "And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. And he answered them, And he that made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they him, What man is that which said unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Verse 14, "Afterward Jesus findeth him in the temple, and said unto him," I have this underlined too, "Behold, thou art made whole, sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day." How ridiculous, right? Healed this man and they're more concerned about their law than they are the man. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you today for, again, all that you've done for us. What a blessing it is to be in the house of God this morning. to be in Your temple with Your people. And we do pray this morning as we look through Your Word and as we preach that You would guide our words, that You'd say, have me to say exactly what You'd want me to say. Lord, I do need wisdom and clarity of thought this morning. Hide me behind the cross. Lord, help us to see Jesus afresh today. Lord, we thank You that You gave Your Son to die on the cross for us to save us from our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. We come through two of the miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ. The first miracle, again recorded in John, is the marriage of Cana in Galilee, where Jesus turned water into wine. If you remember, the mother said unto the servants, that whatsoever He saith unto you, do it. And can I tell you this morning again, it's the Word of God, it's the Word of the Lord Jesus Christ in which salvation is found. And it is the Word in His way, not our way, in which salvation is found. And also we came through the nobleman's son who was healed by the Lord Jesus Christ in the previous chapter. And we know that Jesus said to him, go thy way, thy son liveth. And we know that the Bible says and records there that the nobleman said, and the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken. Jesus said, go thy way, thy son liveth. And the nobleman believed. And I'm glad today that we can have faith to believe in those words. Jesus said simply, the Bible says there in Romans, by the Apostle Paul says, call upon me, and I will answer thee. He said, that whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we'll simply have faith and believe we can have eternal life. Here we look at Jesus returns to Jerusalem. We see this here in verse 1. We don't know what feast it is, and it really doesn't matter. It doesn't take away or add to the miracle that is performed here. But it may have been the Passover, which Jesus returns from Galilee and comes down back to Jerusalem to attend this feast. And there at the feast, He walks into the place called the Bethesda by the sheep market there in verse 2. And this particular sheep market was by the northeast corner there in the old town near the sheep gate. It was also called, notice it was said it was called Bethesda in the Hebrew tongue. Some of us, we point out that there are churches that are named, called Bethesda Baptist Church. Have you seen those? You know, why? Why would they call themselves Bethesda Baptist Church? Well, Bethesda means house of mercy. Bethesda means house of grace. Bethesda means, and there's several definitions, but it means house of compassion. So I can see why a church would name themselves Bethesda Baptist Church. Bethesda meaning house of compassion, house of mercy, house of grace. What a church is supposed to be. Amen. We are here as the people of God, and we make up a house of mercy, a house of grace, and we should be compassionate and all these things. And so there at the Bethesda, having five porches, and again, just think about a back porch on your house. It was just, you know, pillars with a roof on them. Five of them. Five porches. But, you know, it carries a lot of meaning with it. They lived in a hot country like we live in. And they didn't have air conditioning like we have. So it was nice to for the sick and for the lame and the halt and the withered to have a place to get out from underneath the sun. I believe, again, we're talking about a place of compassion, a place of mercy, an illustration of grace. And in fact, we won't go into it this morning, but the number five is the number of grace and five porches. And that's not necessarily our message this morning. We don't want to get into all the types and things going on here. But it definitely speaks of charity. Five porches. Why were they built? Built for the helpless people, folk. Right? Think about a hospital as such. They're all laying under these porches, beside this pool of water and out of the sun. And the Bible says there was a great multitude of people there, of impotent folk. There was a great multitude of sick people. Impotent means without strength. It means helpless. Helpless, without strength. Many there that were blind, that were halt. Halt simply means crippled. Many there that were withered, who had limbs, their bodies and particular limbs and parts of their bodies that were completely and utterly useless. They were paralyzed. And so we think about, again, this pool of water and these five porches and people who were sick and helpless. People that had withered, you know, withered arms, and people who were crippled and blind, all laying around this pool. Why were they laying there? We know that the Bible says there that the water had, in particular times, had some special properties. Special properties. It says there that an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and troubled the water. And whoever first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole in whatsoever disease he had. So you say, well, preacher, explain that. I don't need to. The Bible says it. So that's the explanation. And why do we need to dig any deeper? The Bible says that whoever went into the pool first was healed. And we know angels and certain parts of the other of the Bible have a special privileges and special messengers of the Lord. So there's no reason to doubt that this pool at times had special properties to heal someone. But we don't know whether it was just a rumor and everybody was hanging out. All right, but we know that these impotent folk, these crippled folk, these blind people, these halt people, these withered people, they were laying around the porch hoping to be the first one in the pool so that they might be healed. The multitude there wanting to be healed. Again, we think about the blind and the halt and the withered, all without strength to overcome their problem. And can I tell you this morning that we are all sinners. The Bible speaks of us being without strength to overcome our sin. The Bible speaks of those in this world being blinded by Satan of their lost condition, of their sin. There are many today who understand that sin does cripple and sin does make a man or a woman useless. Sin, though maybe enjoyable for a season, the Bible says, bringeth forth death. Remind you again that these people were hopeless and helpless. Helpless. Helpless to heal themselves. Helpless to help themselves. So they were laying around this pool with hope that the waters would be troubled and they would be the first one to step in and be healed. They were waiting for some experience. They were waiting for the troubling of the water. Can I tell you that experience won't save you? That some vision from heaven won't save you? That what these people needed, what this multitude of helpless people needed, they needed the Savior. They didn't need some experience. They needed the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to see that Jesus comes to this place. By the way, we all need the Lord Jesus Christ. We're all sinners. The Bible says, as is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned that come short of the glory of God. Verse 5 says, and a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. This man had an infirmity and simply means he was crippled. He could not walk. 38 years. 38 years he'd been coming to this pool. 38 years he'd been coming to get into this water. 38 years of being crippled. Why was he crippled? Verse 14 alludes that he was crippled because of sin that he had done. Pretty serious. He said, look at verse 14. And Jesus preached a sermon unto him and said, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest the worst thing come unto thee. It just implies that sin was the issue. That this man had committed some sin. And though we know from John that sickness is not always because of sin, John chapter 9, but we know that this man in particular was crippled because of sin that he had done. Now listen. The Bible says Jesus came by. And this is the key verse here. And when Jesus saw him lie, he knew that he'd been now a long time in that case. He said unto him, without be made whole. Jesus came by. And I want to tell you from the very start that Jesus coming by is absolutely an act of grace. Think about it for a moment now. In Cana of Galilee, when he turned the water into wine, he was approached about the problem. His mother came to him and said, hey, they don't have any wine left. And remember, he said, woman, what would I have me to do? And then he performed the great miracle. And the nobleman came to Jesus with the need for his son to be healed, that he was nigh to death. But in this particular miracle, no one comes to Jesus. He goes to them. Jesus takes the opportunity to walk through the sheep gate, possibly, and come to this sheep market. By the way, I would think if it's a sheep market, it probably doesn't smell very good. And I imagine a lot of people avoided this place because of the multitude of sick that were there, who were begging, no doubt, for money and all, you know, for alms to provide for themselves. I no doubt many people, I don't know about you, there's been times in my life when I see somebody at the gas station, you can tell them. You know they're fixing to come and ask you. You just kind of try to avoid them and get in your car, you know. That's sad sometimes on our part. But no doubt that they were, you know, most people tried to avoid this place. Jesus did not avoid this place. Jesus came by. He saw this man lying. He saw this man in his condition. By the way, it says he knew he had been there a long time. Can I remind you that Jesus Christ was God? That Jesus Christ knew all things. He did not lay aside his deity when he came and became a man. He did not lay aside his all-knowing and all-powerful, all the attributes of God. He still had them. He knew this man had been lying there for 38 years in that condition. By the way, I just want to remind you, that's the God we serve, who knows all things. He knew this man had committed some sin that had caused this, verse 14. He knows all things. Jesus came by and saw him in this helpless and hopeless condition. Jesus came by. What an act of grace and mercy. Did this man deserve it? Apparently the Bible says he had some sin that had caused this. He didn't deserve it. Did he deserve, out of all that multitude was there, did he deserve to be the one who was healed? No. But Jesus saw him and had compassion on him and extended grace to him. Grace simply means God giving us what we do not deserve. He extended mercy to him, taking out the things in our life that we do deserve. What grace, what mercy, what compassion Jesus showed to this man, a certain man. And can I tell you, he shows grace and mercy and compassion to us today. And by the way, because he is God, he is near to all of us. The Bible says he's not far from any of us in Acts chapter 17. That he walks by you today. You're in this auditorium for a reason. Can I say that Jesus is here? As the preacher, I don't see him anywhere. He's here. And he is watching you today. He sees you where you're at. He knows your hurts. He knows your sins. Well, he knows everything. And he extends that hand of mercy and that heart of compassion to us today. Again, we're all sinners. We're all deserving. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We're all deserving of death. We're all deserving. The Bible says that death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. We're all undeserving of His compassion. We are the ones at fault. We are the sinners. And yet He extends mercy and grace to us today. Notice this great multitude waited around this pool, waited around in the underneath these porches. And can I just go ahead and just tell to you, don't wait. You don't have to wait around the pool. You don't have to wait for some glorified experience or whatever may occur. Listen, you can have salvation today. You can be healed today. Notice the question he asked this man. Wilt thou be made whole? Wilt thou be made whole? Do you think this man wanted to be made whole? Yes. I do think, though, after 38 years of laying there and all your friends have now deserted you and they're gone, you have nobody to put you in the pool, do you believe possibly that hope that he once had, maybe the first year, has now waned in its 38th year? Do you think that after 38 years of lying there and having no one to help you, that this man felt absolutely hopeless and absolutely helpless? There's no way he could drag himself over there quick enough to get in the pool first. Do you believe this man felt destitute? Do you feel this man felt as if there was no way he was ever going to be healed? I believe possibly more than likely, he thought it would never happen. And his hopes were gone. And Jesus said to him, to stir it up again, wilt thou be made whole? Why are you lying here? Jesus says. Why are you lying beside this pool? Wilt thou be made whole? And of course, the man goes into a description of why he can't get into the pool and he has no hope. Jesus said, wilt thou be made whole? I want to point out just something very distinct here. That he didn't come to this man and say, you want to go to heaven? And he didn't say to this man, you want to go to hell? He said to this man, without being made whole. Without being made complete. I think today we need to emphasize once again that salvation is not just saving us from hell. Salvation is not just giving us a home in heaven. But salvation makes us whole. It makes us complete. We are born into this world with an empty spot, a void in our life. The Bible talks about that we are dead in trespasses and sin. Our spirit is dead. That part within us that yearns for something more and something meaningful and something with purpose. That part of us that God gave us at the point of birth can only be made whole through salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation from the wrath of God that's been placed upon our sin is found solely in the Lord Jesus Christ. The healing, if you would, of that void within us, that healing takes place only by putting our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ without being made whole. And can I tell you that being made whole is found through repentance? We were reminded of that at camp this week. The Bible says that Jesus said, repent and be saved. John the Baptist also preached repentance. And that is simply this. Repent means that you have the same feeling and understanding of sin as God does. In other words, you feel the same way He feels. Repent means I felt this way about sin before I was saved. I didn't see anything wrong necessarily with some things that were going on. But when I repent, I have a change of mind concerning sin and I go the opposite direction. In other words, for a person to get saved, they don't have to turn over a new leaf. I'm not saying that. Jesus says, come as you are. Amen? And He changes us. But the Bible does say repent. It means to come to the end of ourselves. It means to come to the end of our abilities. It means to see our sin as exceedingly sinful. And I want to turn from them. That's it. A person genuinely cannot be saved until they get to the point that they see that sin is their problem. Sin is the problem. Sin is what keeps us from going to heaven when we die. It is sin. It is sin that curses us to a devil's hell. It's sin is the problem. Jesus is the cure to the problem. Wilt thou be made whole? Wilt thou be made complete? You see, the lost world out there is not, they're not complete. And they wander around aimlessly with no purpose. But I'm here to tell you today, I am complete. I have purpose in my life. Every time I get up in the morning, I don't have to think about, well, you know, wonder what my purpose is. My purpose is to please the Lord. Every day. To go to work, go to play, whatever I'm doing, I'm to do to the glory of God. Whether I'm emailing somebody or texting somebody or whatever I'm doing, I'm to do that for the Lord's glory and for His purpose. The Bible says, Jesus commanded him, take up thy bed and walk. Rise up, take up thy bed and walk. And He healed him. Can I tell you, it still took faith for that man to stand up. So he had to obey the command in order to be healed. Right? And can I tell you again, this has already been repeated in the other miracles, but if God's going to do any great thing in our lives, we must obey Him. And so he obeyed him and he stood up, the Bible says, and immediately the man was made whole. Immediately he was made whole. Immediately he was, instantly he was made whole. I want to remind you again today that salvation is instantaneous. It says, and then the Bible says here that immediately he rose up, he took up his bed and walked. Can I tell you, he was saved, he was healed completely. Can I tell you that salvation is not a process? You don't walk through some catechism in order to get saved. You don't go through some ritual or some baptistry or some church membership or some church membership class or some class to get saved. Salvation, it's instantaneous. And salvation, at that moment that you turn from your sin, at that moment that you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, at that second, you are instantly saved and completely saved. Not a process. No waiting. Oh, they were all waiting there by the pool. He had been waiting 38 years. There may be some here in the auditorium this morning who are still waiting. Well, you know, you say, well, I know I need to be saved. I know I need the Lord as my Savior. But I'm going to wait for this or something to happen. Lord, give me a sign. You don't need a sign in order to get saved. You don't need to wait. Well, I want to wait for my daughter, or I want to wait for my wife or my husband. And listen, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. No man knows what tomorrow may bring forth. Salvation is not a process. Salvation is instantaneous. I hope today you can answer the question, wilt thou be made whole? Will you be made complete today? Will you accept Christ as your Savior? Will you go to Him and repent and turn and come to Jesus? By the way, He's come by your way. You've heard the gospel this morning. But will you be made whole? It's your decision. Your decision. You know, after you get saved, there's always those antagonists. The Jews saw Him walking around with his bedroll there, and they said, what are you doing carrying your bedroll around? You know that's not right. The Sabbath, today's the Sabbath. You can't carry a burden on the Sabbath. See, the scribes had come up with 39 things that were prohibited on the Sabbath day. I mean, they had a list. If you broke the list, you're in deep trouble. And one on the list of those 39 things was carrying a burden. And so this man who was healed, who'd been crippled for 38 years, was walking with his bedroll, and these Pharisee scribes, religious leaders come to him and say, what are you doing tearing your bedroll? When they should have been asking, oh my goodness, what happened to you? This is amazing. How are you walking? Did you get into the pool first? But instead they began to, that's just unbelievable to me. Began to be antagonistic and confrontational. I just use the word selfish. Wrapped up in their own religion, their own set of rules. I have no doubt this man was excited, don't you? I have no doubt this man was saying to himself, man, look what the Lord has done for me. In fact, we know that he went to the temple. Apparently, going to the temple to thank God for what had happened to him. Going to the temple, he was excited about what God has done. And listen, there's been many a time when I've been excited about what the Lord has done. I'm excited about what God did at camp this week. And many times after you receive such a blessing from God, somebody comes out of nowhere and blows your candle out. There's always the pessimist, you know? Well, you know, those teenagers went to camp and they made some decisions, but then those decisions don't ever last long. You know what? Keep your opinion to yourself. I'm serious. Always somebody out there looking to blow somebody else's candle out. The ultimate pet. Let's be optimistic. Excited. Have you ever had one of those days when you came to church and everything was just right and, man, the Lord spoke to you and, man, you've got that little feeling up the spine of your back. You know what I'm talking about? None of y'all ever had that? I'm talking about God visited you in a wonderful way and your heart was just truly blessed. You go out and your car won't start, you know? I mean, something genuinely comes up. How many of y'all start over every Monday? I basically start over every Monday in my life, you know? The Bible says we ought to start over every day, but I start over every Monday. You know, I'm going to start my diet tomorrow. I'm going to start doing this tomorrow. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, I have people say to me, well, preacher, you've been saying that forever. It doesn't mean I'm still going to try and start again. All right? Optimistic. Excited. This man was excited about what God did. And immediately he was confronted with these antagonistic individuals. I simply think the Bible says here, he said to them, the man who said, take up thy bed and walk, is the one who healed me. I have no doubt he thought within his own, he probably knew the rules about not carrying a burden. But don't you think in his mind he said, you know, if somebody has the power to heal me, maybe I ought to obey them. If somebody has the power to heal me after being crippled for 38 years, I reckon I ought to obey him. I think I better do what he says. And he took up his bed and he walked. Verse 13, it says, and he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away. Apparently Jesus had conveyed himself out of the way. There was a great multitude of people there. And I'm running out of time, but why? Why would he only heal one? That's not the right question. Why would he heal anybody? That's the right question. You say, well, why would he only heal the one person? Can I tell you again, why does he heal anybody? Why would he heal anybody? He's God. He can do anything he wants to. We're all undeserving. We're all sinners. Why would he save anybody? I'm glad he saved me. And he will save you. Then we speak of the first sermon that he preached to this man. In verse 14, and I'm done. The first sermon he preached to this man is, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest the worst thing come unto thee. The first sermon he preaches to this man is concerning his sin. Can I tell you, we reap what we sow. 38 years this man was crippled because of sin. We'll say, preacher, I've been in this sin for several years and nothing's happened to me. It'll come around to you. Oh, Jesus extends mercy and grace, and He'll continue to do so. But the Bible says, whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. It'll come back around to you. Are you listening this morning? You can't get away from sin. You can't get by with sin. You cannot get by with sin. You can't get by with disobeying the Lord. You can't get by with your life and living it the way you want to. My intent was to really hammer down this on this point. We got preached to very hard at camp this week. It's just a reminder, again, how awful sin is, and that we as Christians have become lackadaisical when it comes to sin. We have become very soft when it comes to things that are wrong and that we should not do. Are things that we should do that we know we should be doing. Can I just again, with all that I am, say that it will come back to get you. You say, well, I'm saved, preacher. I got the Lord as my Savior. I'm going to heaven. But the here and now as well. You're living this life. Grace does not give you a free ticket to go out and live however you want to. Grace was given because Jesus walked by one day and saw a man lying who had been crippled for 38 years. He didn't have to come by that way. He didn't have to come by that way. But with grace and compassion and mercy, He did. I'm so glad at the age of 6, He came my way. Saved me from my sin. Saved me from the power and the guilt of sin. Gave me a home in heaven. I'm so glad today that Jesus came by. He asked the question, wilt thou be made whole? I ask you that question this morning, wilt thou be made whole? Will you accept Him today? You say, well, I'm waiting for this or I'm waiting for that. Listen, stop waiting. Come to Him now. Christians this morning, we better live right lest something worse would come upon us. Listen to that still small voice this morning. Wilt thou be made whole? Let's all stand. Hymn 167, Just As I Am. Hymn 167. We are all sinners in need of a Savior. We are all helpless and impotent and halt and lame and blind and withered. Jesus Christ is the solution to the sin that's in our life. Jesus Christ is the solution. Has there been a point in time when you've accepted Him as your personal Savior? Do you have a personal relationship with Him? If you don't, come down to this altar. We're going to sing in just a moment. And step out of your chair and come down to the front. And someone here from the Bible will show you how you can have everlasting life. How your sins can be forgiven. And how you can have a home in heaven. I want to encourage you this morning, Christians. Let's heed the sermon that was preached to this man. Lord, we thank You today for Your love and all You've done for us. We thank You for this example that You've left us in the Word. We thank You that we are not helpless, that we are not hopeless, but that we can put our trust and our faith in You, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God, we just ask You this morning, if there's someone here who has been waiting and putting off accepting You as Savior, we pray today they might quit putting it off and have the courage to step out from their chair, to walk down the aisle, and Lord, accept You today. God, we do pray as Christians we would live a life that's pleasing to You. In Jesus' name.